time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
Well, good afternoon. This is the Cabranes Law Hour here on WRJN, about 11 minutes now after 1 o'clock. I am Lou Turner filling in for our usual host, Glenn Klein, and we have some other changes today. Attorney Cabranes not with us today. In his place, we have a guest attorney, and our guest attorney is Attorney Thomas Durkin of Becker, French, and Durkin, Attorneys at Law. Attorney Durkin, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
I always turn up the wrong microphone first time. One more time.
Thanks for having me.
There we go. Now we're back. And, of course, we have Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader from Attorney Cabranes' office. How are you guys?
Good. How are you, Lou?
I am good. Thanks for joining us today. So, now, first of all, what's up with Attorney Cabranes? He is just living the high life in Florida. Is this what I hear?
He is living la vida loca, as he likes to say, out down in Florida, enjoying himself, I hope.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, he was going to some sort of seminar or something.
Well, he was going for an ALA conference.
So he says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing him, he probably is at the conference and is working very hard.
Right. Well, yeah. You work for him, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then, yeah. Of course, you can say that. So, Attorney Durkin, what we're going to talk about a little bit, your area of expertise, from what I understand, and maybe we can just ask you kind of who you are, what you do, and why you're doing it, is personal injury and workman's compensation. So, what brought you in that direction when it comes to the law?
And also add Social Security disability as well.
Okay.
So, well, what brought me into there is it sort of chose me, only because I started out of law school, wasn't sure what to do, so I took pretty much anything that came in the door, and then just over time, slowly but surely, built the practice up.
Mm-hmm.
I've done both defense work, and now I'm on to plaintiff's work, representing individuals that have either been in accidents or injured at work or who are out of work due to a disability and have filed for Social Security disability.
Okay, and toward that end, we will take your phone calls. If you have questions regarding any of the things we're talking about today, 634-9756, that's 634-WRJN. By all means, give us a call. We'll put you on the air and do our best to answer your questions. Now, let me hit a couple other phone numbers here. Normally, we let people know that the Cabranes Law Office number is 262-638-0529, and you can feel free to call if you're a little bashful about going on the radio. They're happy to help you, and the first consultation is free.
Yep.
Right? And we also have the number for Becker, French, and Durkin. That is 262-633-7530, and the folks here will help you out as well. So let's dive into what generally happens when you are a lawyer and working for someone with personal injury, workman's comp, Social Security, that sort of thing. What do you see the most of?
That's a good question. It actually is, I would say there's always going to be accident cases. There's a lot of Social Security disability cases because of the tremendous amount of backlog waiting for those cases to be concluded. And then there's still quite a bit of workman's comp, but maybe not as much as we've seen in the past. I think in part with some of the industries leaving the area. And also things have become more automated and more computer driven. Mm-hmm. So they don't have as many people working, so there won't be as many injuries therefore. So but the personal injury and the Social Security keeps us very occupied and very busy, that's for sure.
Yeah, tell me about the business climate today. It seems like, you know, back in the day, it was us against them. It was the guy running the business and the poor little working guy. But I think the industry has kind of come our way a little bit to at least be safe, try to do the right thing generally. Sometimes.
Well, now it's us against the insurance companies.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And that's difficult. I mean, how many times, I mean, you can't turn on a TV without somebody saying, talk to us. Don't call the insurance company. Talk to us. Why is that? Why are we paying for insurance?
Well, you are paying for insurance because it does cover you in the event you get in an accident, and it is very important to have insurance. And therefore, when the individual hopefully has insurance that you're involved in the accident with, you can bring a claim against that insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important things, first things we get into is when someone gets in an accident, does the other driver have insurance?
Or almost always no.
Well, let's take that scenario then. Let's say the response is unfortunately no.
Yeah, the low life hit me and they don't have insurance and now I'm just screwed.
And what's going to happen to that individual is if they did not have a license, they for sure won't have one anymore because their license will end up getting suspended and they'll have to get what's called SR-22, which is sort of low type insurance, in order to get their license back. But that is why it's important for you to carry insurance. Because if you're involved in an accident with a person who has no insurance, you can bring a claim under your own insurance policy under what's called uninsured motorist provision, also known as UM.
Yeah, and if you look at your policy, that pops right out at you. It's pretty important.
It's in there.
Yeah.
Your first sheet, called the deck sheet, the declarations page, sets forth what coverages you have, and in that coverage is going to be UM. Uninsured motorist coverage.
Okay. Then what?
Well, there's also plenty of other things that are involved in the policy as well, but say you do have an insurance policy and the other driver does not, or even say the other driver does, then that allows you to bring a claim, and what I mean by claim is if you are injured in an accident, there are several parts to the claim. Typically, when you get in an accident, you're going to have vehicle damage.
Right.
And that usually is the first thing that gets taken care of. Most people, if they get in an accident, they've got their vehicle and it's damaged. First thing you want to do, or one of the first things, is contact your own insurance company. Always, always contact the police.
That's the first call.
Well, right? Even if the other driver says, hey, can we just settle up or square up here?
Yeah, no, I got my checkbook with me.
We don't need the police involved.
That can't be more than a couple $100.
Seen that happen?
Yeah, so have I. I've had it happen.
And
me too.
And I took the money.
Well,
idiot.
And hopefully you learned a little bit of a lesson, because you know what? You don't know at that time if you're injured or the extent of your injuries, and there are all kinds of other things that could occur later on down the line. That's why insurance companies typically try to get you to settle a case right away.
Mm-hmm.
Call the insurance company and they tell you, well, you know, we're going to throw some money at you if you just want to settle up right now. You don't want to do that, because oftentimes, if you're injured, it takes a while to know the extent of your injuries.
Right, you have to go to the doctor, and you know, it takes a while to get in.
So you call the police, you get the police to come out, and they're obviously going to do an investigation at that point. They're going to make some determinations as to fault and what's also called liability.
Mm-hmm.
And then on your end, you want to get a hold of your insurance company because you want to make sure a claim's open. You're going to want to find out, and this is I've seen a lot of things happen. I've seen this happen as well.
I would think you've seen just about all of it.
You want to make sure you find out the other driver's insurance company information. Because what sometimes happens, and I've seen this happen a few times now, the other driver may report to the officer that he or she has insurance with X, and it turns out that's not actually accurate.
Now, don't you have to have some sort of a slip of paper or something that says your claim number, that you're up to date, that kind of thing, in your glove box?
Even another scenario.
Okay,
so let's say, and there are sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it, because yes, if a person carries that card, shows it to the police officer, they're going to write it down. And you would assume, okay, that individual has insurance. But what sometimes happens is, number one, that card may be expired. Number two, which I've seen happen, they may have taken out insurance and not paid the premiums, and that insurance has lapsed.
And they just keep the card.
And they keep the card.
Right.
Because typically cards are good for, at least my understanding, is about 6 months.
6 months.
Every 6 months. So you take out insurance, you don't pay for it, you still got that card in your car, and you're giving it to the officer and saying, yeah, I've got insurance.
Yeah, all you need to do is get away from the scene, and you may be out of there.
So that's why it's important to get as much information as you can at the scene of the accident. And I realize you're not always thinking that way. Sometimes you think afterwards, just like if you're at the scene of the accident, if you can get photographs.
And everybody's got a camera now.
Right on your phone.
Right.
Take them at the scene of the accident. In fact, I had one recently where they were involved in a parking lot accident, and she fortunately got a really good picture of the other driver in her vehicle. throwing her hands up. So it actually turned out to be quite helpful at that time, because the other driver who she got the picture of claimed several things. It wasn't actually me in the accident, and it didn't happen the way
this
that you said,
said
it happened.
Right.
We had plenty of photographs showing exactly where the vehicles were at, where the impact was, and where the accident took place. Kind of refuted all of her claims.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you'd be surprised what people do later on down the line.
Yeah, do anything to get rid of it or to get out of it. Okay, this is the Cabranes Law Hour. How you doing? Lou Turner in for Glenn Klein. And we have a guest host, attorney Thomas Durkin. And he's from Becker, French, and Durkin. We're talking all kinds of stuff. We're talking about personal injury. We're talking about what to do in case of an accident. We're talking Social Security. If you have any sort of questions regarding any of this, give us a call, 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. We can take your phone calls and do the best we can to help you out. So, okay, we've had an accident. We've called the officer. We assume everybody has insurance. Then what's probably going to happen next?
Next will be you take care of your vehicle. And by that I mean your vehicle, several things could happen. You may need to have it towed from the scene of the accident, so you or the officer will get a hold of a towing company to come out and tow it. You want to report it to your insurance company. And you also want to make sure that you get it reported to that other driver's insurance company, because what typically happens is if it has to be towed, and a lot of vehicles do when they're involved in a relatively decent-sized accident,
mm-hmm.
it's not drivable, because it will sit in the tow yard and incur storage charges. And that you may think, oh, I don't have to worry about it, but when in reality, you do. Because when it comes time to get your vehicle out of that tow yard, first thing they're going to want is who's paying for this.
Right.
So you want to get on top of that property damage, the vehicle damage, right away. Either if it's got to be towed, get an insurance company to get out there and do an estimate. You want to get estimates done as soon as you can, because typically insurance companies will either send someone out to do an estimate or they'll rely on your estimate, especially if the vehicle is drivable and you can drive it from the scene of the accident. You can take it and get an estimate or two done, submit it to the insurance company so you can get your vehicle repaired.
Now, what if you can't drive it? How can you get an estimate in that situation?
What will typically happen then is it will get taken to a tow yard and it will be in their storage yard, and the insurance company will send someone out to do an estimate there. Oftentimes, if it is towed and has to be in a storage yard, it may end up being totaled.
Right.
If a vehicle is 7 years or older, it actually does not take a whole lot to total that vehicle out. And then what you're entitled to is fair market value for the vehicle. The other couple points to bring up are, let's say it does have to be towed and you're without transportation. You want to get a hold of the other insurance company and get them to authorize you to be in a rental vehicle so that you have some form of transportation. Now, a little known thing that insurance companies rarely, if ever, tell anyone is that you are also entitled to loss of use. And what that means, and that's regardless, let's say you don't get a rental vehicle and I call up one of you guys or you and I say, hey, I need rides
mm-hmm.
until my vehicle is fixed or until I'm able to get another one. You can bring what's called a loss of use claim to get reimbursed for basically the time that you've lost from having the vehicle. So that is, and I don't think I've ever seen an insurance company come out and say, hey, we want to pay you for loss of use. What can we pay you?
How do they put a value on that? I mean, if I call a Shanaz or Jordan and say, guys, I need a ride. Is it gas money? It's a pain in the rear for me to do. I mean, how do you put a value on any of that?
That would be one way, but what we typically do is we typically claim what would be the reasonable value of a rental car vehicle. In other words,
okay.
If I called Enterprise, Avid, whoever,
mm-hmm.
and I said, okay, I want to rent my vehicle, how much would it cost me to rent that vehicle? That's when we normally claim. It's a pretty accurate way of doing it. Now, you know, a rental vehicle's maybe newer than what you had, so you may have a few dollars taken off here and there, but that's at least a good starting point, is to find out what it would cost for a rental vehicle, sort of a reasonable replacement. If you do pay somebody, you want to get some kind of receipt, some type of evidence that, hey, I'm paying, you know, $20 a day to give me rides. But it's something that is overlooked a lot, but it's part of your claim as well, in addition to many other things as you go on, because I consider kind of the vehicle damage the thing that you resolve or work out first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move on to the injury part of it second, after that's done.
Okay. But one thing that confuses me, and I've been so lucky. I've been in a couple smaller accidents where it wasn't a big deal. I really haven't had to come in contact with attorneys, no offense. But I think that's a good thing for me, because that means my life is going smoothly to date. But you said you never want to call an insurance company right away. You want to call your own right away, right, when you get into an accident?
No, actually, you do want to call your own to report
it. Your own, yeah.
But you also want to make sure that the other driver has reported it to his or her insurance company so that they can begin to investigate and take care of the property damage and do whatever else is necessary. So actually, you want to make sure it's not only yours, but the other driver's as well. We've had cases, they've come in, it's 2 weeks after the accident, and it still has not been reported to the other driver's insurance company because that driver chose not to report it to his or her insurance company.
Right.
Because they're worried about all sorts of things like premiums going
up. Oh, my deductible's
up
$500. It's only $300 for the why even make a claim and mess around with the money I have to pay?
And by that time, where it becomes problematic is, say you had to have your vehicle towed, you've got the towing company with storage charges continuing.
Right.
And they want to know what's going on. So, no, actually, you want to actually report it to both companies.
And, again, first call is the police, because the police officer is the one that they're going to go back to if there is, conflicting stuff, and look at that police report and what the officer found at the scene, right?
Pretty important. Witnesses are also very important, because I think there was one, and if you want to bring up a question
Sure.
you had, maybe we can segue into that.
Sure. So I actually had an appointment, and lady came in. She was in an accident where the other driver had right of way, but I guess he was speeding. She knows he was speeding because of the extent of damage to her car. It was a T-bone accident. The police report says that she was at fault, but she had witnesses nearby that told her that, they saw everything that happened and they were willing to testify for her. This accident happened, I guess, last year. Does the length of time between when that witness saw the accident till if she was to bring the action to court now, would that make a difference?
Brings up several good points. Let's start with the first point about the police accident report. When a police officer comes out, typically the accident has already happened and the call's been made and the vehicles have usually been moved off to somewhere where it's safer, side of the road.
Right.
Officer will come out, take statements, talk to the individuals involved in the accident. If they can notify any witnesses, they will write it on that accident report. Name, address, phone number. Very important. You want to get the accident report as well. And then they will also determine fault, who gets tickets, who doesn't. But the one thing to remember is police accident reports are actually not admissible in a court of law. So you can't bring them into court and say, hey, look, police accident report says that the other driver was at fault. Because it's too, at that point, prejudicial. They don't let them in. They did not see the accident. So that's where the witness statements become pretty important, because if you don't get to bring the accident report in and put it into evidence to determine fault, then ultimately it goes based upon the two drivers and any witnesses that you have. In terms of witnesses, the length of time, the only problem with that really is, number one, can you still find them? And number two, as it goes several years down the road, people tend to forget.
Mm-hmm.
What we normally do at our firm is when we see a witness listed on an accident report, we tend to get a hold of them as soon as we can when it's still fresh, and we'll actually get a statement from them. We'll talk to them, we'll send a statement out to them, and we'll have them sign it. That way, if time goes by and they kind of forget the details, because let's face it, 2 years ago, a year ago.
Yeah, I barely remember last week.
Exactly.
Well,
it'd be hard to remember.
Here's what you said 2 years ago. Maybe they'll jog your memory.
Refresh your recollection.
Mm-hmm.
Take
yeah.
a look at that. It will refresh your recollection, and usually they'll say, yeah, you know what, it does. That's one way of dealing with it. Otherwise, if you haven't got those, then you're hoping that they remember and that they will testify as to what they remember, and it's pretty clear. For some people, you'd be surprised how clear it is, only because you hopefully don't have to witness or be involved in accidents every day. Mm-hmm. They'll remember it like it's yesterday, mm-hmm. especially if it was a significant accident.
Do you find that, people are willing to stand up these days? I mean, you hear so much about, I don't want to get involved, just look the other way, I don't want to be dealing with all this. Do you find people are helpful, generally, sometimes?
You know, we do. Generally, we do. If not, then they get a subpoena. And then they're
we'll
kind of forced.
We'll help you be helpful.
but no, generally they are. We try to explain to them that, look, it's not a claim against you.
Right.
And we just want you to tell it like it is. Tell us what you saw. Tell us what you observed, what you heard, type thing. So generally people usually are. We try to work with them in terms of statements or having to testify, working with their work and things like that. And if ultimately they're not, then we always have the power of a subpoena to force them.
So when you have someone come in, what do you look for to decide on whether this is a good case for them to pursue in court? What are the things you look for?
So if there's merit to this thing, what is it? What do you look for?
Well, what we would look for in an ideal world, number one, is insurance.
Yeah.
Because typically if you have people that are involved in accidents without insurance, you're going to be left bringing a claim against an individual who probably doesn't have money.
Doesn't have anything. Or they'd have insurance.
Or they'd have insurance to pay for it.
But you have to have insurance to drive now, so everybody has it, right?
Supposedly, yes. You're supposed to.
In the ideal world, yeah.
Yeah.
Until you get caught without it, then you're forced to have it or you're not supposed to drive anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to derail the question, but what happens if you don't have insurance? Does that have any teeth? I mean, you lose your license, you get a fine. I mean, what's the deal?
Your license will get suspended. You will get fined. You'll have to get what's called an SR-22 and provide, that's just a sort of a low-end insurance policy, and you'll have to provide proof of insurance to get your license back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had situations where it does come back because you may not need a license or you may not need proof of anything now, but 2 years down the road, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need it for something, and then you're calling that individual you're involved with saying, hey, I need to work something out.
Right. Well, we need to take a quick break here. We've got news coming up. This is the Cabranes Law Hour, and Attorney Cabranes out of town today. Pinch hitter is Attorney Tom Durkin from Becker, French, and Durkin. Let me throw these numbers to you quick before we head to Tom Carco for news. Cabranes Law Office is 262-638-0529. Give them a call if you're bashful while coming on the air. First consultation is free. Becker, French, and Durkin, their phone number is 262-633-7530, and they'd be happy to help you as well. It's about 32 now after 1 o'clock. This is the Cabranes Law Hour here on WRJN, and we'll hear from Tom Carco with local news next. Stay with us.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Dange Bakery, and right now O&H is featuring their Christmas Kringle. Layered with a delicious chocolate cake filling with a touch of peppermint, it's topped with O&H's creamy icing, then sprinkled with a bit of rich red velvet cake. It's an O&H Dange Bakery specialty, and it's the featured Kringle of the month. Be sure to stop by and pick one up this week. O&H Dange Bakery, Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. The AccuWeather forecast, a mixture of sun and clouds and a high today only around 26. Case High School was the setting for the latest Visioning a Greater Racine event, billed as Invention City 2.0. Mayor John Dickert focused in on the partnerships needed to improve the community, including blended community policing, which he said provides data that's needed to drive solutions.
The greatest asset that we have as a city are you. Because we don't know if there's a problem if someone doesn't call. And whether it's community policing or the tie-in with human resources or whatever it is, that all comes in coordination between the groups, the organizations, the city, the county, all focused on specific areas.
Racine Unified Superintendent Lolly Hawes promoting the Academies of Learning now underway with the high school freshmen, and County Executive Jonathan Delagrave talking about educational efforts to get those who still need their high school diploma or GED certificate to get that. More information available online, info@visioningagreaterracine, or on Facebook. The long history of WRJN Radio in Racine has included many different format alterations, a few ownership changes, but over the 90 years, you still get the politicians and the interviews to go along with the news and the sports and the weather and all the rest in between. WRJN, which stands for Racine Journal News, began as WLBG, then WRRS, downtown, in late 1926, the brainchild of Frank Leavenworth, Harold Witt, and newspaper publisher Frank Starbuck, at 1370 kilocycles, until 1941. 1400 came later.
I can remember as a kid coming down by the old hotel and watching the studio in operation then. I can remember a guy by the name of Ray Gouz that used to play the piano and Wake Up by Gum radio program. And now with all the wonderful people you got working for you, they certainly do a service to our city.
That's Racine Mayor Owen Davies in 1993. Over 90 years, WRJN has presented politicians galore, like Congressman Paul Ryan becoming House Speaker.
It was clear to me that I was a unifying figure in our conference and that I could unify us so that we could get focused on doing the people's business.
We had debates. All 11 candidates for mayor in our front lobby in 2009. Ted Allen with the only face-to-face in the 21st State Senate District recall.
The debate will begin with the candidates' opening statements, followed by questions from our panel.
Now we do community conversations with Glenn Klein.
I want a commitment from the mayor of Burlington, Jeannie Hefty, right now. You will be the first one in the pool and do a cannonball.
In terms of ownership, WRJN lasted 40 years with a newspaper. Then came Century Insurance and one-time Chicago DJ and businessman Dex Card.
I'm very pleased to know that the station is celebrating its birthday. And isn't that a rather remarkable feat?
Tony Gazzana and Associates, Bliss Communications, now it's Magnum Media owning WRJN.
And as a family-owned company, they have a commitment to the communities that they do business in.
One-time general manager Chris Morrow, who began his radio career at WRJN, including Radio Park grass cutting. WRJN's format, it's varied over the decades, but always with a goal of information, conversation, and being there. Now 90 years of being there. And in addition to AM 1400, the signal is at 98.1 FM in Kenosha and 99.9 in Racine. What were those earlier businessmen think now? And just a reminder, Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, we've got a lot more of WRJN Memories over the last 90 years, a half-hour special. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.
Ling's on Lathrop, a Racine institution for 56 years. It may be hard to spell, but it's easy to find. Ling's Citgo, on the corner of 20th Street and Lathrop Avenue in Racine.
Hi, I'm Dale Ling. Come visit me and my friendly staff. We have drinks, snacks, grocery items, and more. Plus, the cleanest restrooms around.
Save on gas by using the Citgo Rewards program on your smartphone. Ling's Citgo on Lathrop. Quality gas and friendly staff. A Racine tradition for over 50 years.
WRJN AccuWeather forecast. We could have a snowstorm at the end of the weekend into Monday morning that's quite significant. Basic idea is it starts tomorrow night, continues Sunday with mostly light snow, then gets heavier later Sunday and Sunday night, and if that happens, we'll get more than 6 inches and perhaps 10, and we'll keep you updated all weekend. In the meantime, brisk and barely cold, cloudy to partly sunny today, high 22, inland 26 lakeside, mostly cloudy tonight, low 15, tomorrow cloudy and very cold, little snow late in the afternoon, high 24, the snow continuing tomorrow night into Sunday with a significant accumulation likely, the high Sunday 32. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This is the Cabranes Law Hour. Attorney Cabranes not in today. We have a guest host, and it is Attorney Tom Durkin. I need to let you know that this program is brought to you by Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. The show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time nor the information during this show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC makes no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular
legal issue. And that vote of confidence out of the way, we are back at it. Our guests today are attorney Tom Durkin, as we said, from Becker, French, and Durkin, attorneys at law. And, of course, we have Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. I knew I screwed that up, from Attorney Cabranes' office. Again, welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Every week at 1 o'clock, Cabranes Law Hour. Now, and Attorney Cabranes, probably by the pool now, I guess, something with an umbrella in it.
Probably, and he made his wife go swim with the dolphins without him.
He actually didn't want to go swimming with the dolphins.
He didn't want to swim with the dolphins?
He said, you won't find me in there. He's like, they're crazy, vicious beasts.
Just don't put your hand in the water.
Yeah. Have you seen
if you're at Disney World.
And then he showed me videos of dolphins doing unmentionable things to humans.
I have heard they have a libido that is that is something else. Now, we swam with the dolphins. We were on a cruise with my kids, and we had no problems, I'll say right there. And it was pretty amazing. But leave it to Attorney Cabranes to find a problem with dolphins. He probably didn't like Flipper as a kid. Well, let's get back to it. Now, Attorney Durkin, let me find my notes here. We're talking about personal injury. We're talking workman's comp. You mentioned Social Security issues as well.
Yes.
Right. All right. And what we've been talking about a lot is what you do when you get into a car accident. First call the police, and then, boy, there's a myriad of ways that it could go. Feel free to give us a call if you have a question regarding this. 634-9756, 634-WRJN. Now, Shanaz, you had gotten a question out earlier. Why don't we review that? You can maybe restate it, and we'll just take off from where we left off earlier.
Well, I do have another question, if that's all right. So I have a client who he's been trying to get a license down in Illinois, and we found out that he cannot do that because there's a judgment of $26,000 against there's a lien on him, and there's a judgment for $26,000 because of a
looks like we have a call coming in. Sorry to interrupt. We'll come back to that. Hi, caller, you're on WRJN. This is the Cabranes Law Hour. How you doing?
Well, if the snow holds off, I'd be really happy.
Well, I think, somehow people manage to seem surprised here in December that it begins to snow. I don't know. Maybe you're one of those.
I look forward to a green Christmas.
Yeah. I think you're in the wrong state. Well, caller, what can we do for you today? What's your question? Fire away.
Well, mine falls into personal injury.
Okay.
And I'm part of the Skechers litigation group with a lawyer's office that was advertised in Reader's Digest. I got hurt wearing the shoes while exercising, was in a cast for 4 months.
Is that like golden sneakers
or
something?
And then all of a sudden, the ones with the ball in your arch.
Okay. All right, so you wore these shoes and you got hurt.
Balance.
Okay, go ahead, ma'am.
And, excuse me?
I think I'm stepping on you by accident. I apologize. Go ahead, finish up your story, and Attorney Durkin will jump in.
Okay. I was exercising on a mini tramp, just rolling back and forth. You know, they say if you get your heart racing, you help you lose some weight. And all of a sudden, and my son looked over and said, "What the heck was that?" And so I think I sprained my ankle. Well, it wasn't a sprain. I broke it. Mm.
Ouch. Well, what's your question
actually, you'd be surprised how much it does not hurt.
Okay, what's your question for Attorney Durkin?
The other lawyer's office, which is from down south, had a huge, every time I call, I got a human. Any questions, they answered them. Lately, now, because I know they've been in court for a number of months, I can't get a hold of them. Should I be concerned?
Good question. And, I mean, if they have been in court, probably not. But do you have, I assume you've entered into an agreement with them to represent you?
Yes. I've signed every piece of paper they've sent me, read everything, gave them the option to get into my doctor's office, who told me to throw the shoes away. They were at fault. And, I mean, they were all what? 3 weeks old, and normally, before, as of 2010 to now, constant communications, and now I get a machine all the time.
Now you can't get through to them. What's her next step?
Exactly.
Well, what I would do in terms of a next step is I would write him a letter. And you could also have the option of sending that letter certified if you're concerned that are they even in existence. I don't know if that's one of your concerns or not. You could look them up on the internet to make sure that they're still there and still operating.
Done that. They've
okay.
got a website. They've been on TV. Do you want me to give you the name?
No, that's okay. What I would do is I would write them a letter and put your concerns in writing to let them know, and just let them know that you want them to contact you within the next 10 days to go over your case. And then that way you've got written proof of what's going on. Because sometimes if it's just verbal or you're just calling, you know, maybe they'll say, we didn't get the messages, we didn't know you were calling. If you put it in writing, then you've got it documented and you've got it in writing. So that would be my advice as to your next step, is to send them a letter. If you want to make 100% sure that it's received, send it certified.
So, okay. So what if they don't? What if they don't respond? Would you call the police? Would you call another attorney? I mean, what's the next step after that? Say they just did go under or something. What happens to her case?
At that point, I would say probably another attorney. But the issue is, is it a class action type lawsuit?
That's as I understand it. It's a multiple states. Everybody's getting involved on how many people got injured, what the extent of their injuries were, and, I mean, it'd be nice to have the medical bill reimbursed.
Right, so you're not alone.
And my
you're with other people who've had the same problem.
Oh, yes. The entire country, as I understand it.
Wow.
Yeah, because those class
action. Yeah, they advertised in the Reader's Digest, and they've been on TV.
And I've
now
seen
going after hip replacements.
I've seen them on TV as well, and they are very specialized in what they do, and they are multi-state, so it's not just limited to, say, Wisconsin. And because of their specialty area, there's not a lot of firms that do that. But I do know with the class action lawsuits, they can sort of take on a life of their own and seem like it takes quite a long time. And typically the litigation is really extensive. With a lot of parties involved, but I would, if I were you, I would make sure I send them a letter and send it certified to get them to contact you, because part of your claim is not only the medical bills but also pain and suffering as well.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I never even thought of that.
Yeah, without a doubt, part of any claim is going to be medical bills. If you've incurred any wage loss, that as well.
Yep.
Pain and suffering. Also, if your condition is permanent, you would also have what's called a permanent injury claim, and you'd have to have that supported by a doctor. In other words, your doctor would have to say, in all likelihood, your condition's going to be permanent, and here's what I believe are your permanent limitations. If you have that, you can also make a claim for future pain and suffering as well. So there are many elements to your claim. So the medical bills are actually, that tends to be what people just think of, but that's just part of it.
Sounds like your next step is a good old-fashioned letter.
Yep, I'm good at those.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. Hope it helped.
Yes, and have a good holiday.
Same to
all
you,
right,
man.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. You can give us a call if you'd like, 634-9756, 634-WRJN. Boy, you know, you see this stuff on TV a lot. I don't know if I've ever talked to somebody who was involved in, what is that called, class action lawsuit?
Class action lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. So all kinds of people, maybe all over the country. And then different, so I've read some John Grisham, so, you know, they deal with that a lot. But then people will kind of just lump on, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you have a little law office, you might want to jump in, hey, I know some of these people, and then you contact the person who initiated the thing and kind of everybody gets together.
Typically, there's one person that's elected as the representative of the class, or it can be several as the representative of the class, and then they'll send out letters allowing you to opt in to the class action, and you have certain times to respond, and then it will just proceed from there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times these firms I know do kind of proceed by letter, You'll just get letters informing you what your next step is.
Okay. Hello, caller. You're on the Cabranes Law Hour with our pinch hitter for this week, Thomas Durkin. Attorney Durkin, what do you have for us today? What can we do for you?
Hello there, Mr. Durkin. My name is Jeff. I had a workman's comp claim a couple years ago while I had back surgery, and then I was claimed permanently disabled, and then what happened was is my workman's comp tried to say I was healed. Well, I had to go through a court thing, and it was solved, and they assumed all responsibility. So 6 months ago, they assumed all responsibility because they were wrong. And but now I went to refinance my house about a month ago, and there's back bills. They're in collection because the insurance companies haven't like done their thing or whatnot. And it's kind of a bummer because now I'm getting hurt from that. And I understand it takes time to, you know, the insurance companies to do their thing. But I don't have any recourse or nothing, but my credit is taking a hit. I don't know if there's, you know, anything, I don't know if it's ever happened to anybody before. I imagine it has.
Yes, actually, unfortunately, it is more common than you would think, where you'll reach a resolution, you'll settle your case, whatever it is. And as part of that settlement or resolution or hearing, the medical end of it is either left open or the insurance company agrees to take responsibility for the bills.
Okay, I understand, yes.
However, sometimes they don't do that. In other words, they may take responsibility, but they won't actually go take the next step and process and pay them. So it does.
Yeah, like I said, I had a good opportunity to refinance, but they said, well, you have... I didn't know the bills were even in collection, to be honest with you.
So the caller needs to keep track of that? Should he have gotten a check and take care of it himself, or how does that work?
That's one way of doing it. You can contact the insurance company and let them know that these bills, send it to them in writing, and let them know that these bills are still outstanding and ask them to pay for it.
Yes, I called their legal department.
Well, yeah, what did they say when you called them?
I'll assume being, you know, I should have taken care of it and watched my credit report. I'm partially at fault there.
Caller, you said you contacted them. What was their response when you talked to them about it?
The legal department said they're going to get a hold of them, and they didn't know that the judgment was already in the summer this year. They didn't realize, you know, my regular insurance didn't realize that workman's comp took the responsibility for it, and they should have paid them. And so it's kind of like a snafu thing where the insurance companies need to. But I didn't even know I had these back bills, to be honest with you. You're in collection, you know.
Yeah, hey, that's news to me. Great news, too, huh?
Yeah, I know. I could have got a good deal for $299, you know.
Oh, man.
I'm going to refinance the house, you know. Thank you very much. Yeah, and I do feel partially responsible for not watching what my credit report is and whatnot. So I understand that part of it. I do.
All right, well, sir, Attorney Durkin has some advice for you. Here it comes.
One other thing you can also do is you can contact a credit agency, and you actually, if it's involved in litigation such as personal injury, workers' comp, you can make a statement on your credit report. I know that you're limited to a certain number of words, so in other words, you can't write a book, but you can explain what occurred, and it can show up on your credit report, and that actually makes a difference.
Well, it'd be helpful, yes. It'd be very helpful, yeah.
All right,
I got to assume some of the responsibility here. You know, I understand that.
Well, you're a good man. We appreciate your call. Good luck.
All right. See you guys.
Merry
Bye-bye.
Christmas, too. Bye-bye. Here comes another one. Hi, you're on with... Attorney Durkin, how are you?
I'm good.
What can we do for you, sir?
I have a question. If we have a lawsuit or not, my wife was on warfarin.
Warfarin, right?
Right.
Okay.
And that she was going to the INR clinic, and they had to bring her level up, and they brought it up to the level it should have been. But then the next time she went in, the guy that checked it didn't raise the warfarin amount, but he kept it at the same level, which was really high, and her level went up to an 8, and a normal person is at a 1. And she lost just about all her blood and just about died in the emergency room. And now we're going to have a lot of hospital bills. We're on Social Security and Medicare.
So help me out, caller. Warfarin, I know it's a blood drug. What is it for?
To thin your blood out.
To thin your blood out, so blood thinner. And right. You think they messed up by changing the dose, and now she's all screwed up, and you're wondering where to go.
They did.
Right.
They did. She just about blooded it, right. She only had a little blood left in her.
Wow. And so your question is...
She died in the emergency room.
Do I have reason to sue? Attorney Durkin, what do you think?
Well, that would be the kind of case that I would, if somebody came to my office and I talked to them about, I would end up referring them out to an attorney that actually handles medical negligence or medical malpractice claims. Medical negligence, medical malpractice is a very specialized area. It is not something that we do here in town, and there aren't a whole lot that do in the area. There are some in Milwaukee, and there are a few in this area, but I would normally end up referring that case out. Because if you do medical malpractice or medical negligence, that's kind of really all you can do in terms of like this type of litigation. Because if our office was to do it, we would not have any support from any of the doctors in town. That would be quite a problem for us to be doing both those kind of cases. And because in personal injury and in Social Security disability, we need support and we rely on the doctors quite heavily. So we wouldn't want to be in the business.
But the doctor didn't do it.
Okay.
The doctor didn't, but the person that checks the INR at the clinic, the nurse or whatever.
So it'd be one of the staff there.
Right.
But probably under the direction or supervision of either a nurse or a doctor or someone there. I mean, ultimately it's going to be the hospital or the clinic, whoever that person was under the supervision of that would bear the responsibility for that.
Right.
So I would ultimately end up probably referring you out at that point to somebody who specializes in that area.
Is there something the caller can do to get an idea who to call? I mean, which direction should he go?
One of a few things. You could actually call after the show and we could talk about it some more. Nowadays, you can also Google or do a Google or a Bing or whatever search engine you use and put that in, and it will come up with attorneys in our area. You could also call us, too. We could give you some names because we don't really refer to just one, but we could give you a few names of people, of attorneys you might want to talk to about that.
Okay.
All right, and, sir, that is Becker.
For medical malpractice, is that what I look for?
Medical malpractice or medical negligence.
Negligence.
And you might want to put it like as broad as southeastern Wisconsin.
For a search?
Okay. For a search, yeah.
All right.
All right, well, good luck, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
We appreciate your call. You know, it seems like you almost, boy, these days you almost need to have some sort of advocate working for you if you're working through the medical field. And I don't want to give anybody any black eyes or anything like that, but a lot of times people don't know which way to turn when it comes to that sort of information.
That is very accurate, and those kind of cases actually are very extensive, very lengthy, and very costly.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said something interesting. If you want to continue to do law or work with a group of doctors in a certain area, they circle the wagons is what it sounds like if you jump on board on that sort of case.
Well, it'd be kind of tough for us to, on the one hand, be bringing any kind of claims against a doctor, and then on the other hand saying, and by the way, doctor, we need your help in this case. Could you write us a report? Can you testify on behalf of one of our clients?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exactly. an area we don't want to get involved in.
Exactly, and I don't think anybody can hold that against you. This has been the Cabranes Law Hour. Let me shoot these phone numbers to you one more time. We have some interesting calls today. We've been talking to attorney Thomas Durkin. He's from Becker, French, and Durkin, and their phone number is 262-633-7530. That's 262-633-7530. They'd be glad to take your phone calls. Cabranes Law is 262-638-0529. And from Cabranes Law, we've had Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. Guys, thanks again for coming in. Always nice to see you.
Yes, thanks for having us.
And thanks very much, Attorney Durkin, for pinch hitting for Attorney Cabranes today. We'll have you in again sometime.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for calling, folks. This is the Cabranes Law Hour each Friday at 1 o'clock here on your radio friend, WRJN.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.